We saw him last night, and the 10 dudes, we saw him doing something. We didn't know what it was. They're guilty. Evidently, someone flipped a dime on him. Evidently, one of his bros just said, "Hey, it was Gideon, man. I was here. I don't want to be a part of this. I want out. I want to be safe." But he made us do it. We're his servants. It was Gideon. Verse 30. Then the men of the city said to Joash, that's Gideon's daddy, "Bring out your son that he may die because he tore down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it." Wow. Wow. Do they have a love for their idol or what? Wouldn't that be what a bunch of druggies would say? Right? "Bring out your son because he burned all our stash. He burned all our stuff. Bring out your son. He burned my $1,500 laptop and all my DVDs. Bring out your son. Let's kill him." By the way, back in Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 10, if you want to turn there, please do. Deuteronomy 13, starting in verse 6 through 10. Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 10. "If your brother, the son of your mother," in case you don't know who your brother is, "if your brother," you know, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, so your closest friend, secretly enticed you, saying, "Let us go serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you, or far, far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him. You shall spare him, nor conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be the first against him to put him to death, afterward the hand of all the people. You shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." They've got this backwards. See, Gideon, at this point, has every right to say, "You know what, God, should I kill them? Because they're all worshiping this idol, and according to your word, they should be the ones put to death. I should be killing my daddy." But God doesn't ask him to do that. God simply says, "Destroy the idol." By the way, that's what Jesus meant by anyone who loves his son or daughter, mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. In this situation, what he's saying is, if you have a son or daughter or brother or sister, or you have someone who's living in sin and idolatry and all this, it may cause you to cut off the relationship until they repent. That's what God is saying. But too often we think, well, blood is so, they're my blood. Really, if they never turn their life to Jesus Christ, you will never see them again. You will never see them again. Yeah, I have two sisters coming. One who has given her life to the Lord recently, the other one isn't. I know that if my sister comes and she leaves and I don't see her again after she comes to visit and she doesn't give her life to the Lord, I may never ever see her again. And guess what? God's judgments are right. I will see all of you. So all of you are my brother and sister, my mother and father. And we're going to look at that here in a couple of weeks on a Sunday in more detail. In fact, it might even be while my sister is here. I was looking at that. I was like, Lord, is this really going to fall? As I was looking through Mark to see what I was going to be teaching on when she's here, it looks like that's what I'm going to be on. And you know, I only take this verse by verse. So I'm not going to be able to skip it. Lord will make me teach what I can't teach something else. Maybe. No, I just did. But here, they come up, they say, "Who tore down our idol? Let's put him to death. You know what? Joash, bring your son out. We're going to kill him because he destroyed our idol." By the way, it reminds me of what's going on in the world today in America. Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Listen, today, I think I even shared with you, I saw a YouTube video, and it was a tale of two schools. One school, a young girl got expelled from junior high because she wrote an essay about what brings her the most joy, and it was going to church. And then the teacher said, "No, you cannot talk about the Bible and Jesus and all this." While another school was celebrating that the principal came out and said he was homosexual, and the whole school was throwing a party and saying, "We're so proud of him. He's our hero." So the little girl who writes about what pleases her, God, she's evil. Expel her. But the man who says, "I'm a homosexual," he's okay. In fact, let's celebrate that. And over again. And I'm just giving you. But anyway, so that's what they're saying, basically. But think about it. Okay, let's think about that real quick. Why these people are so freaked out? Why are the Israelites so freaked out at this moment? Well, Baal was a god of weather. The god that would bring prosperity, which, by the way, agriculture was the thing. So weather meant food, and food meant prosperity. So they were worshiping this false god because they believed it would bring crops. And why was that so important? Remember what the Midianites were doing? As soon as the crops came in, whew, attack, destroy their crops, take their animals, leave them with nothing. Evidently, Gideon's dad had been able to preserve these two bulls from getting stolen. Hit them somewhere. So how much more precious were these bulls? So when the Midianites would attack and destroy their crops, that would cause the people to worship Baal even more fervently. What they didn't realize was it wasn't helping. It was actually making things worse by disobeying God. You know, I see that amongst young believers often. They'll have a little difficulty in their life, and instead of being drawn closer to God, they'll say, "What use is it then? I give up," and they'll turn away from God, not realizing that they're compounding their problem. And a year later, their life is a total mess. "Why would God let this happen to me?" I don't know. Were you seeking God for the last year? No. Then why are you blaming him? Why, you're reaping what you've sown. That's what was happening to the Gideonites. Excuse me. Gideonites. Midianites. There's no Gideonites. That was what was happening to the Israelites that Gideon was dealing with, their idol. God was trying to help them. By the way, you know what Joash means? His father's name? It means Jehovah is my strength. Joash, the guy who had the altar and the idol in his house, his name meant Jehovah's my strength, and yet he was looking for strength in idols. Wow. Brothers and sisters, you know what your name is? Christian. We should be looking for our strength in Jesus, not in things of this world. And if you're looking for strength in things of this world, then the things of this world will pay off just as they promise. Nothing. In fact, it'll bring more problems because you're being disobedient to God. And I love Joash. All of a sudden, because his son's life is on the line here, all of a sudden, bing, the light goes on. Because he makes some awesome statements. Look at this. We're doing good. Okay. He says, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death in the morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself because his altar has been torn down." Oh, that is good. That is good. Yeah, if Baal's god, if he's a god, why do you have to defend him? You know what I love about our God? There have been nations and kings and rulers who have decreed the extinction of the Bible, and yet here it stands. They have tried to kill its prophets, its disciples, its leader, and here the Bible stands. They have tried to burn Bibles and burn scribes, and here the Bible stands, and it didn't need anyone to defend it. You know, Israel shouldn't be a nation. They shouldn't even be a people. They shouldn't even have a language. Never before in history has a people been scattered and wiped out, basically taking a nation away from them and a language away from them for 2,000 years, and then to have them come back together, have the nation, have their language, and now they even have their high priest as of a couple of weeks ago. Why? You can't defeat what God is doing. But if it's a false god, it won't last. It'll be defeated. So he makes a very good point. If Baal is God, let him defend himself. But if you think he has to defend himself, that you have to defend him, then we'll kill you and see if he defends you. Verse 32. Therefore, on that day, he, meaning Joash, called him, meaning Gideon, Jerubbaal, which means let Baal contend. So Gideon gets a nickname because he tore down the statue of Baal. He gets Jerubbaal. And it says let Baal plead against him because he has torn down his altar. So, hey, you know what? If Baal wants to kill my son, let him kill my son. So I'm going to give him a nickname. Now, I want you, here comes a very, if you get nothing else from this message tonight, here's the message I want to drive home. We still have more scripture, but I want to drive this home. God will not use Gideon until his home life is in order. Our ministry starts at home. Listen, God just called Gideon, and the first place he sends him is home. Go get, tear down that false idol. Listen, how can you plead freedom to those in bondage if you are not free? How can you plead peace to those in turmoil if at your home you have no peace? You have no power. You're spiritually impotent. You're living a lie. We'll wait. God bless you. Okay. Is that a threat? I'm just messing, man. God bless you. Bad pastor. That's why James talks about controlling your tongue. Because let me pray again. Father, I just pray. Show us your grace, Lord. Give us your grace. Father, I like to make people laugh, and sometimes, Lord, perhaps I shouldn't in certain ways. And so, Father, be here. Help us to refocus on such an important message. And so, Father, we thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Gideon is told by God to go home. If you're going to be used by God in battle, you got to be willing to die at home. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, kill your stinking flesh. Because your flesh wants to do everything opposite of God. And so he has to go home and pull down the idols. Because, by the way, his daddy's idol was affecting the neighborhood. You know, sometimes people in a neighborhood, they'll come to a church and they'll put on a face, and then they go home and they'll have a drink, and the next thing you know, they're shouting down the street, walking down the street, hanging out by the pool, and everyone sees them. Like, aren't those the people who go to church? Here, Gideon's daddy had an idol in his house, and people from the neighborhood, first thing in the morning, let's go to the idol. So God says, Gideon, I want to use you, but I cannot use you until you deal with the sin in your home. Let that be a reminder to us, those of us who want to be used by God. Verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. Of course they did. Listen, you take a step in the direction of God, and the first thing that happens is the enemy comes up against you. Listen, nobody's laid a threat down. Is it recorded in here that Gideon sent message, we're ready to take you down? No. But Gideon tore down the idol, and sure enough, the enemy goes, what? Why? Because in battle, whenever a fortress or a territory is taken over, the first thing the enemy does is gather its troop and comes back stronger. That's why when we went to the men's retreat and the women's retreat, both Jennifer and I said to all the women and all the men, be ready. When you get back, you're going to be walking into a battlefield. Be on your guard. Have your heart right, because if not, you are going to be taken down. Because the enemy doesn't play fair. He didn't go, oh, you're all close to God, I guess I'll leave you alone. No. No. And it doesn't take long before you grow weary of the battle if you do not let the Lord take rule of your heart. If you start to think, I've got to work this battle out in my flesh. And how do you know if it's in your flesh? Ask the Lord. He'll tell you. Verse 34. I love this. Okay, so all these massive... By the way, we know that this army was humongous. Humongous. Like 140,000 men. And then it says in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Okay, the army's gathered, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon the nation of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon all the people in the city. Nope. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Why? Because he tore down the idols in his daddy's house. He stood up for what was right. So God filled one man, and then he blew the trumpet. Oh, look at, check that out. The guy who was hiding in the wine press, the guy who said, hey guys, you got to come with me and let's do it at night so no one sees us. All of a sudden, the Spirit comes upon him and he takes that horn. Boo, boo! Here I am. That's what happens. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, all of a sudden there's this boldness. I'll blow that trumpet because God is with me. And the Abizrite gathered behind him, and he sent message throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him, and he sent message to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they come up to meet him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon. So he blew this trumpet, and so when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, all of these people, the Israelite people, gathered behind him. The same guy was hiding. The same guy who was the least of all the families. His family was the least, and he was the least, the least. The same guy whose daddy had an altar, that same guy. The Spirit of the Lord gave him boldness. Now, by the way, he has authority now. They wanted to kill him, but now he has this authority. When a man walks in the Spirit of God, people gather behind him. It tells us in Judges, we're going to see this next week, Judges chapter 7, verse 3, it tells us that it was 32,000 men of the Israelites. Sounds like a big, because it's the Naphtali and all these different Zebulun and all these people gathered behind him, but it's only 32,000. You say only 32. Yeah, well, when the army he's going to go up against is almost 140,000, 32,000 is kind of cutting it close. So now we come to the very famous fleece story. Verse 36. So Gideon said to God. Now here's a guy who just blew the trumpet. Now 32,000 men are behind him. He says, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wood on the threshing floor. Now where on the threshing floor, if there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you shall save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Now, remember, he said earlier in verse 17, he says, show me a sign. Where are the signs? Then back in verse 13, he said, where are all the miracles? Right? He keeps asking for a sign. Now, here, he's asking for another sign. Right? We do that, don't we? God will give us some victory. We'll tear down an idol in our life and something else will happen. And what do we want to do? We want God to give us a sign. Why can't we just believe his word? Now, there are certain things in God's word that there are not specific details. We should look for God to give us confirmation in various ways. But please be careful. Please be careful. Don't say, okay, Lord, if you want me to buy that house, when I get there, may a black cat run in front of me. I hear people say things like that. God, if you want me to go and witness in Africa, then the next car that passes by will be a blue one. It's like, what are you talking about? Listen, you know what? If there's nothing specific in God's word giving you direction, can I suggest that you seek counsel? Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, here's the thing. If you have a problem with something and you don't find a scripture that's leading you in this direction or that direction, you need to get counsel. But here's the thing. You always want to get counsel from people who are more spiritual than you are. You don't call Aunt Betty. You don't call, your friend, my bestest buddy. You don't go to the bar and sit at the bar and have the bartender give you advice, like a lot of people would tell you. No. And you don't turn on Dr. Ruth Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. You don't turn them on. You go to spiritual counselors. Side note. Nowhere in Scripture are we encouraged to lay out fleeces. Nowhere. This is something Gideon did, and as we've seen, Gideon is kind of a knee knocker. Gideon is a doubter. Gideon does this because he doesn't trust God. Look at his own statement, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if, first of all, that's doubt, you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. Hello? Shouldn't he say, you will save Israel by my hand? Why? Because you said you will. Does God lie? He's calling God a liar. God, I'm sorry, man, but I just can't believe you. So I'm going to lay out a fleece. Listen, when people tell me, and I've done this, by the way, me too. I'm laying out a fleece. I'm like, oh, okay, so you don't believe God's promise. What? Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. You know how we bring glory to God? By believing what he said the first time he said it. You know how we don't bring glory to God? I'm going to lay out a fleece. Because if God said this, I got to make sure. Thank you. Yeah. What do you mean you got to make sure God said it? What does his word say? Well, that I should be a witness everywhere I go, then get going. You don't need a fleece. By the way, if you're going to lay out a fleece is a piece of wool. Not a black cat, not a blue car. I have yet to meet anyone to say, I'm just laying out a fleece. Oh, you got a piece of wool? No. I'm just saying, God, if you'll do this. That's not a fleece. If you want to be biblical, you better go buy yourself a fleece and lay it out and look for some dew. Verse 38. Thank you. I was testing you. And you all pass. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So there you go. If you're going to drink a soft drink, it's got to be the dew. Anyways, verse 39. I got that one right. Yeah, that was very bad. Okay. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Oh my gosh. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece and all the ground, let there be dew." Yeah. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. God wasn't mad. God met Gideon in his doubt because God had a plan for Gideon despite Gideon. I love that. I love the fact that over and over in Scripture, we see God use weak, feeble people. And I say, thank you. There's hope for me. Gideon didn't keep his word. God fulfilled his need for a sign once before. He already showed him. God told him, "Surely I'll be with you and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And Gideon responds, "If now I have favor in your sight, show me a sign. It is you who talk with me." And he showed him a sign. And then Gideon perceived it was the angel. He's like, "Oh, I've seen God face to face." And after all that, he says, "Oh, Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. I have so much peace. Thank you, God. You're awesome. God, are you really with me?" We laugh. You know, I think we laugh because I see me in this. We come to church and I have such peace. We go to home and we're monsters. Where's the peace? I left it in the third row in the second seat. It's only there when I go to church. Man, oh man, I just feel the presence of God. Listen, whoa. We're in the New Testament. God takes residence in your heart. The Lord met Gideon over and over with signs. But here's the cool part. Here's what I love. In the end, Gideon will move forward and he will go to battle and there will be victory. God will be faithful to keep his word. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. Is God a liar? Does God love you? What more do we need? Let's walk as if we know we are those people that he loves. That should bring us peace in every situation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Gideon and the example that we have. And Lord, this amazing little story. And we haven't even fleshed it all out yet. And we have just started in the book of Judges. And Lord, I've learned so much already and applying so much of it. Father, I am weak and feeble and doubting. And Lord, I'm everything that Gideon is. But Lord, I also want to be victorious. And I want to see you work in my life. And so, Father, may we all leave here tonight, go home and tear down those idols, burn those altars, and truly turn our homes into light for Christ. Father, may we not just say we love you, but prove we love you by how we respond in difficulty, by trusting your word. God, if there's any God that is worthy of trust, it's the one true God, the only real God. Every other God is false. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room tonight that may have a false God. They may have a false understanding of how awesome and loving and victorious and glorious you are. And Father, if we would turn our eyes to anything other than you, what a lost cause. What a waste of time. And so, Father, help us to be examples of Jesus Christ, to walk in peace and in love and forgiveness and in passion, caring for the lost, seeing people get saved, loving on our brothers and sisters and refreshing their hearts, washing the feet of the saints, and encouraging, Lord, encouraging those who are younger in their faith than we are, so that we might say to them, follow me as I follow Christ. What a heavy, heavy, lofty, powerful, convicting statement. May we each search our heart and say, can I say, follow me as I follow Christ? Because there should be no reason why we shouldn't all say that. As you've placed your spirit in us. Oh, God. So amazing. So amazing. I can't even grasp, but I am thankful. And so, Father, go before us, pave a way, open our eyes, open our hearts, and Lord, may we hold our tongues, especially me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.